This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
They fight harder, but they're backed into a corner. Summer is a coming in. And if you know the next line, and you have something that's driving you crazy that you want to talk about, right here. Maybe what's driving you crazy is driving Miss Daisy. Or something like that. So give us a call and let us know what the pressure is like in your neck of the planet. And maybe it'll help us to get out of the woods. You think you know what you're talking about, I'm not always sure that I do. I'll be happy to hear from you, because I have been noticing some things that are... Oh, okay, now it's midnight in New York City. Magic time. Midnight in New York City. Oh, actually, a minute after. And we may or may not this morning be carried on WSLR in Liberty, New York. And there is a great heavens to Betsy. There's a great lady who is called Liberty, who does a program right before this one on WSLR, and she primarily directs it at people who are shut-ins. In other words, people who are in one of the many, many prisons in upstate New York. It's a great, great industry, I'm sure you know, that... taking people out of the cities and bringing them to distant locations, far from their relatives, counting their presence as voters in the local elections that elect the people whose sons and brothers and wives and daughters find work sometimes in the prison system. So that's the area up there that Radio Unnameable will be broadcast to. Maybe, maybe not this week, but they promised me soon again. Our incessant fund drives here, the last of which, I want to thank you, has been fairly successful. Our incessant fund drives have caused a couple of our affiliates to throw their hands up in a despairing way and say, how about a penny for us? How about a penny for the old guy? And... We got to do something better, and I thank the many, many of you who have become supporters of the station in the last few moments of our desperate need. We may be able to get by until the next marathon fund drive starts, which should be momentarily. So please, if you support us, stay tuned and keep tuning up, because some things are happening in this community as well as in the world. I'm sure you know that tyrants are toppling, and... people are coming back to consciousness. You know, in the streets of Trenton today, it looked like an anti-war demonstration at the end of the Vietnam War. The streets were packed shoulder to shoulder with silent police and firemen who were standing there just to give a kind of a quiet, non-violent. They stole that from us, right? Like announcement of their presence. And it was very effective, you know. At least I remember, see, one of the advantages of being a geezer is that you remember similar things that I heard about something similar. It was during the era immediately preceding the election of Governor Franklin Delano Roosevelt, remember? You know, he's the president I grew up with. He's the president whose picture was on my father's office wall. My father was a raging member of the Democratic Party at that time. And he loved Franklin Roosevelt. And somehow Franklin Roosevelt was mentioned in connection with an earlier manifestation of an attempt to cut the police and the firemen. I don't know, a Boston police strike? Was that earlier? I don't know, it's all a haze, but there's a, there's a truism that without the support of the police, nothing much happens. These are all of these healthy guys who have dreams and families and hope for pensions and relatives who do the same thing. And people in other services, other of the uniformed services in the city, there are, you know, people who were training to get into the academies who are, you know, suddenly they're not being hired. They're discovering something that they hadn't thought about called the freeze. And it's not, it has nothing to do with the latest cold snap. It has to do with hiring. No hiring. And lives are being torn apart. Don't know whether this is a call from someone who wants to talk about that.
Yes.
Or, yes.
Hello, Bob.
Good morning. You're on the radio.
I'm a bit disheartened by the fact that I've lived in my neighborhood over 45 years, and my neighborhood's the former Lower East Side. I don't know what they call it today. And somehow...
They call it a booming and... development. Now, wait a minute. People are beginning to move out. It's those squatters. What can we? Have we? Wait a minute. Let's. How? What is that? The circle there with the A in it on the wall. What does that mean? Ah, gee. What are all those people dressed in black doing at night? That's very. I'm gonna. But at least I can get them to pay the rent.
That's a great point, Bob. My problem is that the very people who have been here since the 80s have now claimed the historical references of their era and totally negated the fact that there was something that came before them. For example, I went to visit a friend of mine who's a world-famous photographer. He's 85 years old. And it seems like the 80s to generation, I forget, what do they call them, Gen X's or whatever, they pretend that they invented this the concept in this neighborhood of being creative and free spirit.
Well, they just don't know their history.
Yeah, and back in the 60s, I swear to God, Bob, and I'm a newcomer even in the 60s, I could walk around with a bathing suit on. And nobody thought nothing of it. If you remember, if you recall that period, it was a pretty high amped period, in quotes. And but my problem is I'm.
That's right. It was like a real outburst of hate in New York City, but it was spelled with an HIIGHD. You know,
yeah.
Some people thought it was paradise. No. But of course. There were people who hated it, and there were people who preyed on it, and there are people who still remember it, with a smile. It was a very mixed time.
Now, my complaint is that you remember the East Village Other, the East Village Other, all these papers that used to represent the neighborhood. I picked up something today. I forgot an East Village paper.
They're working for the landlord.
Yeah, ha-ha! But the thing is, those people that once used to demonstrate and stand on lines and picket and ban Manny Hanny and burn bras are now supporting these rags. So therefore, the news of the neighborhood is being filtered through a real estate vacuum. Now, Bob, you are... I think you are amazing, even when I disagree with you, because you have something... How would you like to see yourself remembered? For all the things that you've witnessed and seen and contributed to. Don't be modest, please.
I'd like people to say, is he still around?
No, they don't do it like that. In the history books. Because anyone who's as creative as you are has to have an ounce of curiosity on how the records are going to report you. Now, there's a guy named Clayton Patterson. Has he put you in his column yet?
I know Clayton. I'm not... my epitaph is not on my mind. You know, I saw an ad once for pizza that said, what do you want on your epitaph? And I said, what the kind of insane person gives two... enormous evacuations about what is written above the envelope that they used to come in. Who cares? Got me?
Yeah. But lastly, I want to say something.
What do you want on your epitaph?
That he went through a hell of a drug period, and he learned that drugs ain't SH you know what, and he's appalled at the fact that the city administration and the rest of the public are now contributing to influencing young people, and he's fighting against it. In other words, you walk down the street, you see crack pipes being sold, you see all kinds of things. The city isn't that broke, is it? I'm not talking about it being sold privately in stores, but when you see it on the street, you see the same, and don't get mad at me, the same thing in the 60s when the Peter Maxes artwork was showing up all on TVs and whatnot, and curious young people would run downtown to see if they could be a part of what that psychedelic reproduction is all about. You dig where I'm going?
Absolutely.
All right, let me stop before I embarrass myself.
No. I see where you're going, and I mean, I've noticed it too, that a lot of people are in a lot of pain, and they're and the most available pain is sold in the painkiller is sold in the streets, and sold in the streets of neighborhoods that are in misery. Right.
Well, what about the drugstores? There's three drugstores on some blocks down here, big, huge complexes. They have to stay in business, so we're going to have to take the legitimate drugs.
But don't you see, this is the way they break neighborhoods.
Yeah.
This is the way they break neighborhoods. When they want to develop a block, they want to develop an area, the thing that they do is rent to people who they hope will be distributors of drugs. And in some neighborhoods, they have a very cooperative police who look the other way.
Maybe, you know, your audience might know someone that's in the personnel, the governmental personnel department in Libya, and I might be able to apply for a job there. Okay, Pa.
Listen, let me just, there are some other calls. I appreciate
you. Hey, take care of it.
Bye-bye, you too. You're on the air.
I'm listening cold. I don't have the radio here.
Oh, you're cold?
There's no radio here.
Well, what do you do at night without a radio?
Am I on the air?
Am I?
I don't know. I don't have a radio.
One of us must be. There's always air.
And
there's always someone chanting somewhere. You know, somewhere in the world, there is someone who isn't chanting. What do you say to them?
Well, they should chant. Everybody's got to chant. They must chant.
Everybody must get chant.
I would think so.
Uh-huh.
The whole world is going to chant.
Uh-huh.
You know, when the whole world grows up, starts seeing things my way, and then everyone will be happy and bored to death. And that's how it goes.
Well, I can wait for that day, but it's interesting. Well, it's therapeutic to know that you're out there. You know, it kind of makes me feel. It gives me faith in the power of artistic obsession, because I think, like, it can exist almost by itself. It doesn't even have to have art attached to it. If someone is obsessed enough, it becomes art.
Well, that's why everybody pins their hopes on me.
Gotcha.
Because without me, there's no New York.
Well, we're going to be without you in just a moment. Thanks for the call. And
what does that mean?
I'm waiting for another. I'm going to answer another phone, if that's all right with you. There are other people in the world, you know.
Well, hopefully they'll
you met some
alike.
Of them. You actually came up and answered phones for us one time. Did you? And I was amazed. I went in there and you were sitting around having conversations with people. I thought you'd be teaching people how to chant.
I don't know if they knew if I was the chief or not.
Can you give people instructions and how to chant, if you think that... Wouldn't you be more effective if you had a bunch of people who were, like, chanting along with you?
It happens occasionally, you know that.
Well, when it happens, don't you get a rush?
Don't you?
When?
When everybody starts chanting along with me.
Well, I probably would, yeah.
Oh, you probably would?
Yeah, I probably would.
Well, if I remember that, there was a whole bunch of people in the studio once, and they all started chanting along with me.
I remember. It took us weeks to get over it. But there are other people who are waiting to call.
Waiting to chant.
Well, perhaps. And I know you will call back, so I will invite you to. Bye-bye. You're on the radio.
Hi.
Good morning. Oh, I hear we're delayed, and we must be on delay. Turn your radio.
I thought I did. I was listening to the news earlier. I was listening to the news,
yeah.
And I'm wondering if anybody in Afghanistan wouldn't think about doing what the Egyptians just did, which is choose some spots where they can go and stay and do some good demonstrations to kick the Americans out of the country.
Not only are people thinking that way, but even the police are thinking that way.
Yeah?
Yes. The police
in
were...
In Afghanistan?
No, the police in the United... In, I know in,
they're
in
doing
Trenton.
There.
Yeah, in Trenton. People are... people.
Yeah, because of people with body issues.
This, one of the things about this city, New York City, is that we have a tradition. Caller before was talking about the Lower East Side, but we have a tradition in all of New York City of going outside in someplace with or without a permit to do it.
Yeah.
And saying, we want or we won't or we will. And,
it used to be like that.
It's it used to be, less scary to the authorities, this is the anniversary coming up of the Triangle Shirtwaist.
Now they put you in a cage, and you can't move. You know, when they got you, you can't move one step, you know, so no sense going out and demonstrating anymore, because you can't really get to the spot you want to get to.
Well, see, that's what this social networking is about. Because you can be in a demonstration now with, broadband, cell phone, or computer, or radio. You know, you're in a way, you're at a demonstration now.
And I want to see
and
the
you're,
Afghanistan.
Because you must remember that how you live your life is the basis of all politics.
Yeah, I want to see them do
how you Afghanistan. How you want your life to live and how you want to live your life and how you have to sometimes defend it.
Yeah,
that's politics.
Well, it doesn't pay to fight the United States because you're going to lose, but you could demonstrate and do what the Egyptians did. And I would like to see if the news would pick it up and talk about it like they're doing. About that country there that they're talking about now, that they say America's going to invade a Gaddafi place there. The America wants to go there and defend the people. But I want to see them do something in Afghanistan. Really, I would like to see some of that killing stop over there and that war stop, you know? I would love to see those people demonstrate and send all the foreigners out of the country and get the country back. That's what I would like to see.
Well, if you wrote that up, I'd sign it.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I just want to mention something to you. I don't know. I'm sitting at home and I'm watching my television, and I'm the kind of person who, as soon as I see something that really irritates me, I just hit the button and flip to another channel, you know? And I have one of those cable systems where I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of channels. So at a certain time during the day, I go to where the news is. And I go back and forth between the BBC News and the ABC News and the, you know, and I just try to pick up similarities and differences in the different coverage, you know, and then I source that with what I can read online from the computer, and when I'm really confused, I'm sure I know it all.
I don't have a computer, but I listen to the news a little bit on the radio. And I noticed the similarity between BBC and CNN. And I said, and now I'm noticing the similarity.
Well, sometimes it looks to me like the BBC is trying to sell me a point of view. Do you ever get that feeling?
Yeah.
But that's because they have a lot of people who have different points of view.
And the guys that give the news, they actually try to get into your head.
Oh, well, that's a given. That's a given.
It's
yeah.
Very fun.
You know,
but I don't have a computer. And I was thinking about getting one. Then I changed my mind, and then I'm thinking about getting it again. And right now, I bought the computer, but I'm not plugging it in. I was just there, sitting there.
Do you have a computer and you're not using it?
No, I'm just sitting there.
Well, you know, if you want someone to, you know, teach you how to use it, you've come to the right place. This radio station has a program where people answer questions about computers. Yeah.
You have anybody coming on to sing tonight?
You're the star tonight.
I want to hear a singer. Last time I listened to you, the song woke me up. It was like a dream. It was wonderful. That woman that you had on there. Oh, I can't remember her name. I should remember because I should buy her music.
You mean Alana Amram?
If you got it, play it tonight, tell you.
I believe, well, you know.
But that was our first song. And then she played it again for me. Wonderful. Wonderful. Anybody coming on tonight?
Oh, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
You're on the radio.
Thank you.
Oh, I see. I hear the delay. Turn.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. Who's this?
Winston from Brooklyn.
Winston.
An old friend.
Winston, I thank you for calling. We drove to Brooklyn together one time when I couldn't find the where they had put the radio station that night. Is that right?
Yes.
Remember,
I came in here
at 8 o'clock, and they said, "Well, we can't broadcast from here tonight." I don't know whether it was because of some battle that we were having here or because of the World Trade Center, but I think it may have been. I think the same. Those two things happened at once here.
Mm-hmm.
You were.
I wanted to comment on the person calling in about Afghanistan. You know, England tried with Afghanistan. England wrecked Afghanistan. They taught them to plant the poppy plant, which we get heroin and all such things from. England taught those people that thing. And then Russia came in and tried to clean up the place, but they had to run and leave it. Now America's in there wasting our money.
Winston, you go back to Alexander the Great.
Okay, yes.
You know how many people have tried to subjugate those mountainous hills and failed?
They have tried.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody can conquer those people. No matter what you try to do.
Well.
America will run out of their just now.
American know-how will.
You see?
You know, see, your name is Winston. And I know you must know about a character named Winston Smith.
Yes.
In Orwell. In 1984. And when he's being tortured...
Mm-hmm.
The guy who's torturing him says, well, we need to have a war to dispose of our excess production. If we don't have a war, people will never work because they'll have enough.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the reasons, maybe there's something deep in our human character that makes us want to go out and kill each other, but I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that there are people who, can convince people to do it, that that's the scoundrel's game.
I have read the scriptures, old and new, and war is in the scriptures from creation, you know. There are wars all the time. This nation fighting against that nation and everything like that. And war is nothing new. But what I find is America is claiming they do not have money to pay for our health system, to pay the teachers, to pay the police, the firemen. But still they're finding money to finance the war. You see? China bought 4 to 5 jets from America. And those people, they're going to strip one of those jets down, inch by inch. And by next year, you're going to see they're building the identical jets coming out of China. That's how China operates. They buy from you, and they copy your vehicle or whatever it is, and produce it afterwards. So when you feel that you have a good, oh, we've made so many million dollars from China, God help you. Thank you, Bob.
Well, thank you, Winston. Next week.
I've tried to be good.
No, Winston, you're good. Take care.
Have a good day.
You too. And you're on the radio. This is your moment.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
It's me again, the pestilential caller.
The pestilential caller.
Right, a pestilence which you want to get rid of as quickly as possible.
Can I say something to you? You call yourself
Cloudy.
Right. Can I say something to you? You have been calling this station and my program especially for more than 10 years, right?
I started, the first time I called was in 93.
Well, that's more than 10 years.
Right.
I'd like to point something out. You're getting better at it.
I'm getting better at doing what?
Calling and getting your ideas out and getting people to listen to you. There was a time when there was something in your attitude that kept people from seeing the beauty of your thought. You did?
Well, my attitude changes from day to day. And
Mine too. Mine too. What's on your mind, Cloudy?
Well, a few things. Is there, do you know, if in New Jersey, do they have initiative referendum to save the schools from the Governor Christie?
I'm sure they're going to be trying a lot of
but in New York
maneuvers, it's going to be a big fight. You know,
in New York and Connecticut, they do not have initiative referendum. In Massachusetts and Ohio, they do. And it makes a big difference.
Well, so what does it take to get one on the ballot without the legislature thing? Well, maybe all you have to do is put it in the ear of some uneducated legislature who's never heard of this. You know, I think they're going to be... they have strategies planned, Cloudy. If you have some extra strategies and you want to suggest it,
right? Well, for example,
call them.
Pennsylvania, New York.
I'm watching CNN and seeing the way these guys are maneuvering, and I think, well, you know, they know the game. They know the game. I wish it wasn't such a game, you know, but they know the game. And we're going to be watching this game, and I have a feeling that more important things will be happening out. Well, you know, you watch television, Cloudy, right? Cloudy?
Sometimes. I watch Saturday Night Live, for example.
Well,
like to watch the program about Johnny Weir, Be Good Johnny Weir, the skater. Sort of amusing. He's a very engaging kind of character, like a skater.
Well, I watch television, as I tried to say before, sometimes anyway, with bursts of surfing from one moment to the next. And there was a moment last week that, I don't know, I felt like was some kind of an epiphany of human suffering. There was first there was Click, there was a whole village had it fallen down the side of a mountain in Bogota. And there were people, like, running. The camera was on when it happened. And you could see the buildings, the little low buildings falling down, and people running down the side of a mountain. And then later there were shots of them being loaded onto buses because the authorities got there in time. They notified them and let them know. And the one guy said, "I have nothing now. They won't let me go back to my house. I have nothing." And then, click. There's the people in Egypt being firebombed in terror, scared. The Molotov cocktails flying. And people running.
Well,
and wait, I'm not done yet. Okay. Click. And then there's, maybe it was back to some other site of human misery. Click. And then there's this guy who is saying, "It's the most miserable moment of my life. I can't understand how it could be so awful." And I realize that he's at the Oscars. And he's waiting to hear whether he's going to get an award. And he's surrounded by all of these well-dressed, perfumed people. And he's suffering acute misery, he says.
Have you ever been to the Oscars yourself?
Oh, I can live in hope. No, I never have. Have you?
No.
No, but I was there for a moment on TV, and it must be...
What?
But it can't be. I mean, it's not on the same planet with someone whose house is falling down around their shoulders, or somebody who's being rounded up and put up against a wall because they have a computer in their home. I mean, it's, I don't know, just occurred to me. This is, it's a funny world. I'm a little on the manic side tonight, I guess, because I'm trying to recover from two very impactful deaths this week. Two people, I lost a guy. I think I mentioned it last week, so it was really the guy I went to college with years ago, who I used to talk to a lot. And this week, one of the most beautiful, wonderful women that I knew for about 2 weeks died. Her obituary was in the newspaper. Maybe it was a month that I knew her. It was Susie Rotolo. A lot of people called her Rotolo, but she and her sister straightened me out on that when I first met them. They said, "It's Rotolo, like a Rolling Stone. You know Rolling Stone?" I didn't know Rolling Stone. I didn't know rock and roll. I didn't know anything but the world of young actors in New York City. That was, well, I mean, I'd been to college for a while, but I was a dumb puppy. And there were these two beautiful, hip, sisters. And one of them was Bob Dylan's girlfriend. I'd heard about him. And there he was in the flesh. And I actually hung out with them for a couple of weeks, and I went to a demonstration in Washington, D.C., the one that Martin Luther King spoke at and had that wonderful dream that still we're trying to get back to and dream in America. And Susie and I rode down in the same bus next to each other, and we talked on the way down. And she wrote about that little moment in this wonderful book that she wrote. And somewhere here in this mess of CDs that I dragged out of my car is a recording of the time that Susie and Bob and John Harold came up and just were kidding around on Radio Unnameable one morning. They were making up sort of half-hearted comic improvisations. And one of those things that no matter how old you get, you never see twice. There are a lot of things that you see twice. You see preparations for war. You
endlessly.
See... And what?
Endlessly for wars.
That's right. But there are some people that you meet and you remember them even after not knowing them for a very long time. And Susie and, of course, Carla, Bob were, you know, people who were living a kind of, they were living on the edge of the folk revival in New York City, which was happening simultaneously to the Actors Studio assault on the American theater. And it was an exciting time in New York. You could run into, I don't know, Marlon Brando on the subway. Well, not really, but you always hoped. And you could go to a Broadway theater and just happened to walk by when it was breaking for the end of the first act, noted what time it was, and the next night come back with one of the programs that you picked up from the street and hold it in your hand, and you could duck in and do what they called second acting of a play. You could see a play for free. And since most of the ushers were, you know, also trying to find their way into the theater, they would wink and let you take an empty seat. It was a very different time. You don't see that happening. I don't think that happens anymore in Walt Disneyland, does it? 42nd
nope.
Street? No. Well, you know, that's the kind of thing that can happen when people don't feel so alienated from each other. And I hope that sometimes this program is an aid to the end of alienation or to decreasing the alienation. So, anyway, thank you for hanging on, Cloudy, and I guess I'll talk to you again. Bye. You're on the radio.
Hello, hello.
Once would be enough. Good morning.
Bob.
Who's this?
The Wushu guy from Jersey City. Now, this ruling in the 8-1 decision about the hate speech outside of a funeral. There was a ruling concerning an assault by some police officers on demonstrators. The ruling went, this is about maybe going back to the first Iraq war, George W. Herbert Walker Bush. Herbert Walker Bush.
Did you make this ruling or did you notice it?
No, this is an actual court ruling that the demonstrators brought the assault by police because they intentionally incited the police. This is, a lawyer will tell you, someone who knows about this.
Oh, when did this, I get it. I'm sorry, I was so
And so
slow.
This ruling yesterday is that the speech is protected, even though it is harassment or violates the right to privacy. And the justices, the conservatives made a statement that the gay movement is to blame.
Well, I think they, I think they're a little twisted, don't you?
Yes, yes, the conservatives, and I don't know where the liberals are coming from. 8-1 ruling. I couldn't believe it. This is a violation of privacy and harassment.
What are you going to do about it? Besides, call up and complain on a late night radio program.
I tried getting in on you's show. That's why I'm calling you.
On whose show?
You. I can't remember his last name. In the afternoon. Thursday afternoon call-in on BAI.
You mean the Hugh Hamilton?
Yes, yes.
Show? He has a different name for it, doesn't he? Talkback. But that's a traditional name on WBAI.
About Donald Trump, he's got a good platform, but he's damaged by his fascist gambling connections, you know? Gambling leads to fascism. It's a degradation of the dollar.
It's soaking the poor.
It's a degradation of the dollar. The dollar is worth a lot. You go buy a bag of popcorn, maybe $2.
Look. What do you do for a living, Frank?
I'm the Wushu guy. I study the Wushu from Republic of China. And I need $500 to rent a hall.
Well, you can do it in the park in the summertime, right?
I'm going to do it charitable. People can't
summertime
go for my routine. So, I know it inside out. I do it every day.
Inside out. Can you turn someone inside out just by shouting at them? I saw people break glasses by shouting. So, it's kind of directed chi, right?
I never read about it in Tai Chi magazine from L.A. I'm waiting for my next issue. They cut back from 6 issues to 4 for a year.
Now you're talking like you, Hamilton.
This Cheng Man Ching, he had died. Yang Style from Taiwan. Down in Hoboken, Dr. Bob Ante teaches. I tried getting in touch with him over the holidays. I'm from Jersey City. Tried getting in touch with him and his wife, Yuck Ying Kwan. And I couldn't get through to the electronics, but he's a real master. they can put up a stand, a master like Bob. He teaches at a new school of social research on 12th Street. And you can have like 7-8 people pushing in a line. And he can withstand the force, because he's rooted, you know? So let me get going.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. You might be interested in this next caller. Hold on. You're on the radio. Hello? Oh, okay. It was somebody who called off the air first, and it was someone who was going to talk about a food co-op, some place where you can get good organic vegetables at a reasonable price by putting in a little, you know, sweat, equity work. And wait a minute, maybe that's him calling back. Hi, you're on the radio. Hello?
Hi, Bob.
Oh, hi. It's Louis Bedrock. Hi, how do you do?
Great. Very glad to get through. Tell Bill I thank him very much for his help.
Well, here you are, and I know you people who work on the farm have to get up early.
Well, it's not exactly working on a farm, but it is working for a co-op. Recently, because of health problems, I changed my diet and have become pretty much of a vegan and pretty much stuck to organic foods. I found specialty stores like Whole Foods have great stuff, but that their prices are a little bit beyond my reach. And I was very grateful when a friend of mine directed me to her food co-op and got me a membership. And I found that for about less than $50, every 2 weeks I can get two bags of organic produce. And one of the coordinators of this co-op, who I spoke to this afternoon, is a big fan of Radio Unnameable, and I hope she'll be calling soon and will be able to provide you with more detailed information and perhaps even take questions from the cabal. But I'd like to mention the name of the co-op, which is the Purple Dragon, and I'd like to mention their phone number and their website. The website is www.purpledragon.com. Purple Dragon is one word. And going to that website will provide people with information about where there are branches of this co-op, a map of the New Jersey, New York area where there are co-ops, and access to the Purple Dragon newsletter, and information about special orders. I mentioned that every 2 weeks for less than $50, you get two bags of vegetables. But you can also get very good prices on everything from spices to seeds, bulk grains, bulk nuts, legumes. You could also buy items like vegetable brushes, I guess the hour is getting to me. Juicers, and if you're concerned about the quality of your water, you can buy a water filter, including a water filter that will eliminate fluoride. So
where are these located?
New Jersey, Long Island, and there's one near you in Staten Island. As I said, if you go to the website www.purpledragon.com, you can see a map and get a list of the locations as well as find out membership requirements, and you can get other information. If you don't have a computer, there's a phone number. May I give that?
Of course you can.
973 is the area code. 973-429-0391. And the coordinator's name is Janet, and she's a big fan of Radio Unnameable. And if you ask for her and mention that you heard about the Purple Dragon over Radio Unnameable, she probably would be very excited to talk to you, and be glad to give you the contact information for
the
year.
She won't give you an extra carrot, though.
She might. She was very excited when I mentioned that you are participating in Purple Dragon, and has been a long-time listener. So maybe an extra carrot, maybe a lime.
Well,
lucky to get her on the right week.
Let me ask you this. What does the co-op movement need to expand and become, I don't know, like a real presence on the marketplace?
I think it already is starting to do so. I know in addition to this co-op, the Purple Dragon, I checked out a couple of others, and I settled on this one because I didn't want to commit myself to more work. I know in Vermont, in Montpelier, Vermont, where I came very close to buying a home a few years ago, there's a huge co-op, and you have a choice of either paying a certain amount of money per year or working. And between paying for your membership in cash or paying for your membership entirely by working, you can make combinations. You can pay so much and work so much. But the place in Montpelier is huge and has a large, large membership. And it's like a big box supermarket with everything from honeys, cereals, nut butters, wonderful produce.
Louis, I think we should continue to talk about this every week for a while until... it becomes more familiar to people. I have a feeling that it sounds a little strange to some people, but
it's expanding.
I think it's going to be very useful in the coming famine.
One of the reasons I called is because they're opening a few new places. I think one of them is somewhere in Long Island, but one of them is near me. For the New Jersey listeners, Union, New Jersey is opening a Purple Dragon co-op, and they're looking for members and for people to help coordinate the co-op. So maybe if you'll let me, I'll give the contact information one more time.
Certainly.
Sure. The website is www.purpledragon, and that's one word, .com. And the phone number is 973-429-0391. And I'm hoping that within the next couple of weeks, Janet herself will get around to talking to you, and maybe she can get on the air and even take some calls, because she's better informed than I am and be able to provide a lot more information.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for giving me time. We can expect
a call from her next week. And this is WBAI in New York City, speaking of expecting calls.
Bob, you and Bill have a great night.
Thank you.
He's best at talking with Johnny Hansen.
I'm a fantastic talker, but I think we ought to give Bob.
Want to drop a line? You must know where you can find me.
Unless you want to put your foot in your mouth.
At the battle of Gondita, where the fire tries to blind me.
En el frente de Gondita, primera línea de fuego.
If you want a splendid meal, cheap and served in princely style,
not far away, where we get sweet them all three times a day. Them and eggs we never see, them all sugar in our tea, and we are gradually fading away. Old soldiers never die, never die, never die. Old soldiers never die, they just fade away.
A Spaniard who hailed from Alcala, when angered would shout mucho mala. He tossed a grenade at a Moorish brigade and blew all those fascists to Allah.
Yippee-yi-yi-yi-yi. Yippee-yi-yi-yi-yi.
Oh, the Lincoln Battalion by Cracky, a bunch of brave bozos the wacky. They held on the line for months at a time against Franco, he'll do his lackey.
Yippee-yi-yi-yi-yi. Yippee-yi-yi-yi-yi.
Today is the 26th anniversary of the reign of El Caudillo, Generalissimo Francisco Molinari Franco. And we are fortunate to be here at the Alcazar in Toledo, where the Generalissimo has kindly granted us an interview. Generalissimo, buenas noches.
Buenas noches to all of my friends in North America.
Generalissimo, it is, of course, a great honor for us to be here, and we understand that you've been honored in numerous ways on this day. I noticed that you received numerous gifts this year from admirers around the world.
Oh, yes.
Would you tell us something about them?
Well, first of all, I have a painting, I think, from Pablo Picasso.
Oh, Pablo Picasso?
Yes,
thank you.
Yes, he sent me a beautiful painting, I think. I haven't opened it yet.
Why haven't you opened it?
Well, I will as soon as I find out why a painting should tick.
I see. What's that bulky package over there? It seems to be moving a bit, with the tricolor on it.
Oh, yes. That comes from General de Gaulle.
De Gaulle?
You see, every year we exchange Jacques Chaustel.
Uh-huh. And is there any other presents you could tell me about?
Oh, yes, lots of them. I wonder about one, though. This is the first year I have not had a card from Adolf Eichmann.
Uh-huh. What are those books over there on the credenza?
Oh, that's the complete works of Federico Garcia Lorca.
You like poetry?
He's my favorite poet.
Oh, really?
I was his favorite dictator.
I see.
He wrote a very good poem about my police.
I see. Did you get anything from any of the other people you forced to leave Spain?
Let's see.
Some of the exiles, some of the people, you know, who won't come back because you're here.
Well, I don't think it's a personal thing. I'd be foolish. I think it was a personal thing.
You don't think it's a personal thing?
No, it's not. There was somebody from the musician. What is his name?
The cellist?
Did you see? Pablicito Casals.
He
sent me something to play on the phonograph, a record.
A record?
See, it was this American singer you have driven out of your country. What's his name? Paul Robeson, no?
Yes.
He sings the Los Cuatro Generales, you know. That's the song. I was one of those boys, you know.
Yes, I know you were.
What's that sofa over there?
Oh, the...
Was that a gift?
Yeah, the one with the cigar burns on it.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, that is the one that came from my friend Fidel, the second wearable.
Mm-hmm. Did you get anything from your old friend and neighbor, Dr. Salazar?
Oh, Salazar, he sent me a beautiful Angola sweater.
Uh-huh. And the American government, did they have anything?
Oh, yes, I received from your President Kennedy.
Yes.
A package with the deed to Cuba.
I see.
He's returning it to me.
I see. Would you describe the past 26 years of your dictatorship?
Oh, you see, that's a very bad word to use. In the minds of the Americans, the word dictatorship has a very bad meaning, you see. I prefer to think of my regime as a tyranny.
What about the disturbances we've heard so much about in the North?
Oh, you mean the marching up and down and the picketing and the these people carrying signs,
yes,
and the
yes,
screaming,
yes,
and the shouting and
yes,
the singing?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, in Englewood, yes.
No. In Oviedo.
Oviedo?
Yes. Oviedo in the North.
This service is here in Oviedo?
In the coal mines, yes.
I want to thank you for telling me about that.
You knew nothing
about it?
I imagine it is very difficult keeping track of things.
You don't have any idea.
Generalissimo, you have been described upon numerous occasions as a savage brute.
See?
A tyrant.
See?
A cutthroat.
See?
A mass murderer.
See?
A cabron.
Now, wait a minute.
You don't think that that's an appropriate way to describe yourself?
Certainly, yes, señor.
How would you describe yourself?
Well, I am, you know, pleasingly plump.
And?
And I have a very straight back.
And?
I like to stand straight, you know. This is because I was in the army, you know.
Uh-huh.
I was a man on a horse, you know.
Yes, I know. You were on a horse quite a bit at one time, weren't you?
Oh, yes.
One final question, if I might. How do you plan to celebrate this, the 26th year of your murderous tyranny?
Oh, we're going to have a beautiful banquet.
A beautiful banquet here at the Alcazar?
Si.
And what will you be serving?
Olives.
Olives.
Si, and Franco-American spaghetti.
I've met a million different girls. I've had a lot of sweet romance, holding hands in different lands. I took a trip to Sunny Spain. I think I'll go back there again. I fell in love, if I ever did, with a pretty little kid that I met in Madrid. There was a cute fandango, kind of Spanish tango with her boy.
Say, that's pretty funny.
Be sure to call us here again at WNCN, okay? Thank you very much. Listen, would you write that on a postcard and tear it up? Yeah, they're really out tonight. Dylan walked in, and I had just coincidentally queued up a Bob Dylan record. I was going to play Bob Dylan's Freight Train Blues, and there was going to be another Freight Train Blues, and then we were going to go into somebody else's blues. That was all. But Bob Dylan is here, and he brought up an acetate, which is a recording that is from his new unreleased album, and the record, this is not, we're not plugging it because the record company doesn't even know he's here, and they'd probably be very bugged because there's a release date on it or something, but don't worry, Bob, nobody listens.
Right.
Okay. So,
I'm the only one who listens, and I'm not home, so.
Yeah? Oh, we were going to, I tell you what, we'll talk to Bob Dylan, and we'll try to get some more Steve Gables tapes, from Mexico, with pigs squealing and that kind of thing. And all like that.
Musical instruments squealing.
Okay, well, there's absolutely no connection between pigs squealing and Corina.
Everybody's got their heads bowed down. Sun don't shine above the ground. Ain't going down to Oxford town. Mm-hmm. and clubs followed him down, all because his face was brown. Better get away from Oxford town. Oxford town around the bend, come to the door, he couldn't get in, all because of the color of his skin. What do you think about that, my friend?
That's the song that I played on my little portable tape recorder on the way back from that march in 1963. Oxford town. And a young woman who had been to the demonstration, who was riding back with me, Susie, had gone to be with Dylan. Susie had left me, and I had a different person riding next to me on the way back. And she'd been a member of Newark SNCC. And she said, "What is that song?" When she heard Dylan say, "Play that again." And, just a memory. Just a memory.
Carina, Carina, girl, we've been so long. Carina, Carina, girl, we've been so long. I've been worried about you, baby. Baby, please come home. I got a bird that whistles. I got a bird that sings. I got a bird that whistles. I got a bird that sings. But I ain't got Carina. Life don't mean.
Well,
First of all, I announced that cut incorrectly. First time, I said that we were going to hear Corrina, and we didn't hear Corrina. We were at Oxford Town. And then the second time, I didn't want to make a bad joke, so I just let it go right into Corrina. So we heard Corrina at Oxford Town, but backwards, inside out. Well, anyway, Bob Dylan is here in the studio. It sounds sort of as though I'm operating from inside a piano. There's a terribly echoey thing here. I don't know why, but anyway. Talk, Bob.
Oh, go ahead.
No, that's not Bob.
That's the record. Hey, we played the last one, and it's called I Shall Be Free. And then we'll talk. Well, it took me a woman late last night. I was 3/4 drunk. She looked all right. Just started peeling off her onion gook. She took off her wig, said, how do I look? I was high-flying, bare naked, out the window. Well, sometimes I might get drunk, walk like a duck and smell like a skunk. Don't hurt me, Nana, don't hurt my pride, cause I got my little lady right by my side. She's trying to hide, pretending she don't know me. There painting on the old woodshed when a can of black paint, it fell on my head. I went down to scrub and rub, but I had to sit in the back of the tub. Cost a quarter, half price. When my telephone rang, it would not stop. This President Kennedy calling me up. Said my friend Bob, what do we need to make the country grow? I said my friend John, Bridget Bardot, Anita Ekberg, Sophia Loren, country will grow. Well, I got a woman 5 feet short. She yells and hollers and screams and snorts. She tickles my nose, pats me on the head, rolls me over and kicks me out of bed. She's a man-eater, weak grinder, bad loser. Oh, there ain't no use of me working all the time. I got a woman who works a set of line, works up to her britches, up to her neck, writes me letters and sends me checks. She'll be free.
You certainly were.
And your streets are getting empty. And your old highway's getting filled. Well, the way I love that woman, I swear it's bound to get me killed. I've been gambling so long, Lord, I ain't got much more to lose. Yes, I've been gambling so long, Lord, I ain't got much more to lose.
Right now I'm having trouble. Please don't take away my highway shoes. Well, I'm bound to get lucky, baby. Or I'm bound to die trying. Yes, I'm bound to get lucky, baby. Lord, Lord, I'm bound to die trying. Well, meet me in the middle of the ocean. I will leave this old highway behind. Well, the ocean took my baby. My baby stole my heart from me. Yeah, the ocean took my baby. My baby took my heart from me. She packed it all up in a suitcase. Lord, she took it away to Italy. Italy. I'm walking down your highway, just as far as my poor eyes can see. Yes, I'm walking down your highway, just as far as my eyes can see. From the Golden Gate Bridge all the way to the Statue of Liberty.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the great Bob Dylan you just heard. And while the record was going on in the studio, I'm afraid that John Harold and Dylan, Mr. Dylan, who was here with us, and his young sweetheart, Susie Rodolo, left the studio. And now we have to take their place, Snirk Randall, Susanna Merkel, and Rory Grossman. And actually, the whole scene has changed, and we'd like to get these people to say a few words to the listening public. And I'm Snirk Randall. Well, Rory, now that you're cracking up all over the place, let's hear a few giggles from you.
Well, Snirk. Well, I have a cold.
Right.
It's too bad that they all had to leave us here like this. What did you think of the party last night?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. Sorry that some of the people from Sioux Falls High School couldn't make it, though. But it was pretty good to see some of the old people. Yeah.
Buster looked good, didn't he?
Buster? Yeah, yeah. He was curly-headed as ever. Yeah. And how'd you like it, Susie?
Oh,
Anna?
I thought it was fine. Really fine. Really.
Yeah. They tell me, Rory, that you've been recording under the pseudonym of Bob Dylan. You're trying to take the name away, or trying to cash in on Dylan's
name. No, well, that wasn't true. That wasn't true. I did make one record under that name, but it was quickly taken off the market, and everything got settled, you know. But I didn't do it again. That's an important thing. I don't expect to be doing it again in the near future. Maybe now and then give it a go, but, you know, that. As far as that goes, as far as recording under the name Bob Dylan, I'm just using my own name, Rory Grossman.
I see. Yes, well, that was Rory Grossman. People know him as Bob Dylan. There's quite a resemblance. We'd like to play one of Rory's tunes, and you'll see the amazing similarity between the two. What do we have?
Well, Snirk, wait a second now. You know, I don't want to do that because I might get some people mad. You know John Harold, the guy that just left?
Yeah.
What do you think of him?
Well, it's weird. I don't know. These Armenian hillbillies are kind of weird around New York. I don't know how it works that you find these guys living down in the village and stuff.
Well, I got one thing against them, you know, John Harold. Well, I don't know. Ever since I heard Ed McCurdy, I sort of knew where Johnny got his start, you know?
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, it's straight, like guitar. Yeah. Guitars, uh-huh. Right, you know.
Yeah. That's kind of a funny thing, because at the same time that that John Harold did sort of start picking up on the Ed McCurdy thing, Bob Dylan, a lot of people don't know this little fact, but he is actually the third member of that famous clothing chain. What is it? Brooks Brothers. He's brother.
Well,
and it's an amazing thing. He doesn't quite model the clothes. Though he doesn't have his own.
He used to live in the back of the store. That's why that came about.
Yeah. Yeah, I did hear that once. Say, do we have a record there of Rory? What's that? He's waving in the control rooms. I'm not too familiar with the radio station jargon. What? This is the 10th Street Rumblers are gonna do something now here. It's one of those crazy city bluegrass groups with Snurk Randall.
Oh, I went to work in a delicatessen for 30 dollars and plenty to fressen. The ballerbus promised me a real gedille. Instead of gedille, I catched me a killer. You load 16 tons of hard salami. Corned beef, rolled beef, and hot pastrami. I hock a rind, everything gets to essen. I hold my nishumi to the delicatessen.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob broadcasting from Camp Roberts Hope, telling you to make your teeth nice and white with Pepsodent, and when you listen to the Pep President speak, you'll always have a good map to look at.
We just sort of came in here. There were three other people before us. We sort of laid them out. Now they're in the hall. What we're in here for is we're starting a new improvisational theater. It's called Naked Theater. And it's going to be running about July. We're trying to find a theater house for it. And
we're not soliciting, though.
No, we're not soliciting anything like that. But we're going to sort of throw it around and get the ideas across here. What we all mean by this naked theater type thing, it's a very, very personal type theater. It's sort of like there are no actors on the stage. Everybody is an audience. And, Roachy, why don't you tell a few people about it a little bit?
Well, it's weird, I think. It's going to be wild stuff. All that naked theater stuff and all. It's going to be weird.
Well, you can't really classify it or nothing, you know.
That's true. Except that it's going to be a little weird.
It'll be kind of naked. Naked's the
naked
word.
Is the word.
Yeah.
No, don't use that.
Don't use that.
Wild stuff nakedness. Yeah.
Keep on moving, my eyes are my brain.
Charlie Burp with Alexis Meadow and Aaron Silverstein III. And we're here, we got them, them people that were here before talking about that naked stuff, we sort of laid them out, too. And right now they're taking the elevator down. We're up here, we have a little group, it's called, Folk Singer Suits Incorporated. And we make clothes for folk singers. To play on the stage, in the house, in the coffee houses, all over the place, in the concert arenas, on the highway, just about any place you want to go, we make the clothes for the folk singers to go with. And on my left over here, there's a stylist, Miss Alexis Menuhin, and she's a cousin of the violinist. She plays the violin, and she knows a lot about it, and she just recently taken up the fiddle, and is trying to get a little closer to the way that people dress. And she'll tell you a little bit about the dressing of these, of what our organization does. Alexis, can you evaluate
well,
on that a little bit?
You know, I have to do a lot of research still, being as how I gave up the classical violin to get more the sense and feeling, you know, of the folk world as it is, you know,
yeah.
And the folk scene. I have to mingle with the folks.
Yes, yes.
You understand? Therefore, it's hard for me. Now, I am designing because I've been walking about the New York places where one sees the folk singers, you know, the real in-folk singer types. And I see what clothes they wear and how they're most comfortable. I want to keep it good and folky. That shall be our motto, most likely. You know, we're still working. You know, this is a sort of, Aaron Simplesteed. You know, he's right in. He's really in. Aaron,
you know a few of the folk singers, don't
right,
you?
Right, yeah.
Yes, I do. And I've got a song that kind of explains the whole works. It's Streets of Laredo, and there's a nice verse in there that explains. It goes, I can see by your outfit that you are a cowboy. You can see by my outfit that I'm a cowboy, too. We can see by our outfits that we are all cowboys. If you get an outfit, you can be a cowboy, too.
Oh, that's lovely. That's
thank
lovely.
You very much.
That's just fine.
Tell the Rambler uniform, you know, the hitchhiking one uniform that you've been designing.
Oh.
The hard traveling chapter.
That's kind of funny. It has something a little bit to do with the naked theater they were talking about before. It they don't quite wear too much when they're on the road. It's one big rip. The whole thing. Sing songs. Sing, he said. Well, I'm sorry. I don't know any of that Acapulco stuff. that's an interesting thing. Folk singers' uniforms. He mentioned something about Jack.
That I love stole the gal that I love and took all my sunshine and joy. Nobody but he was a body to me since we played on the floor with our toys. I just can't believe sick and sore. The pal that I love stole the gal that I love. That's why we're not pals anymore.
driver was very careful. Every time he drives through town, he'd slow down to 50 and put aside his magazine he was reading. And if it was a big town, he'd make the blonde get off his lap, too. What a trip. I said to the driver, how fast are we going? He said, I don't know. The speedometer doesn't work. It never works unless the wheels are touching the ground. Ah, the bus was going along, and all at once we heard a loud explosion. The driver said, must be a backfire. Got no tires.
Speaking of modern poetry, we have a poet here tonight whose name is Harold Johns. And he happens to be one of the finest village poets around. Reads his poetry just about any place you could possibly think of reading poetry. And I hear him constantly through the streets and echoing through the alleys. Poetry. And Harold Johns happens to be sitting right next to me right now. My name happens to be Elvis Bakel. Harold, how are you?
Well, I'm not feeling too good.
Why?
Well, to see, it's like this. This morning I rose from my sweet repose. I puts on my clothes and down the streets goes. I meet one of my foes by the name of Mose, and you suppose I steps on his toes. And he struck out a blow which I couldn't oppose, and hits my nose and caused the blood to go in the river where the water goes. Well, up I rose and I brush off my clothes, and down the streets I goes to my sweet repose, and that's all I knows.
That's...
Oh. 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 Oh, that's so beautiful.
Oh, that knocks me out.
Oh.
You can't say anything at all without poetry coming out of your lips, can you?
That's true. I do not talk all the time, but when I do, I talk in rhyme.
Oh. See, folks, there are geniuses left. There are.
I hate to even talk to you sitting here because you sort of put me down just sort of being there. You know, and I can't really think of anything to say to such a genius. You know, would you like to read a serious poem or just so you shout one out for the people?
Well, I'm just sitting here a spell. And I don't know exactly what to yell. But let's see. What the... sort of modern day subject, sort of time machines. A lot of people feel nowadays that they'd like to escape from life in different forms, and we do this in other ways, but time machine, we were just thinking of this subject before, as it was a movie by that name, and it was a fantastic movie. And Susanna Mariana, is that your name?
Yeah.
Saying she wished she had a time machine. Why don't you tell us what you'd do with it if you had one?
Well, most people are supposed to go forward, but I'd go right backward, way back. What? I'd go back to the Stone Age and watch how it goes up, and then come back, present times, and then go off into the future and become a prophet of some sort. Right?
We have a poet here tonight whose name is Harold Johns. And, he happens to be one of the finest village poets around. Reads his poetry just about any place you could possibly think of reading poetry. And I hear him constantly, through the streets and echoing through the alleys. Poetry. And, Harold Johns happens to be sitting right next to me right now. My name happens to be Elvis Bakel. Harold, how are you?
Well, I'm not feeling too good.
Why?
Well, you see, it's like this. This morning I rose from my sweet repose. I puts on my clothes and down the streets it goes. I meets one of my foes by the names of Mose, and you suppose I steps on his toes. And he struck out a blow which I couldn't oppose, and hits my nose and causes blood to go in the river where the water goes. Well, up I rose and I brush off my clothes, and down the streets I goes to my sweet repose, and that's all I know.
That's...
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Oh,
that's so beautiful.
Oh, that knocks me out.
Oh.
You can't say anything at all without poetry coming out of your lips, can you?
That's true. I do not talk all the time, but when I do, I talk in rhyme.
Oh, see, folks, there are geniuses left. There are.
I hate to even talk to you sitting here because you sort of put me down, just sort of being there, you know, and I can't really think of anything to say to such a genius, you know. Would you like to read a serious poem or just sort of shout one out for the people?
Well, I'm just sitting here a spell, and I don't know exactly what to yell. But let's see. What the... We're now going to discuss a real sort of modern-day subject, sort of time machines. A lot of people feel nowadays that they'd like to escape from life in different forms, and we do this in other ways. But time machine, we were just thinking of this subject before, as it was a movie by that name, and it was a fantastic movie. And Susanna Mariana, is that your name?
Yeah.
Saying she wished she had a time machine. Why don't you tell us what you'd do with it if you had one?
Well, most people are supposed to go forward, but I'd go right backward, way back. I'd go back to the Stone Age and watch how it was up, and then come back to present times, and then go off into the future and become a prophet or something. Right?
Well, you can get to me now. I just came back from a trip I took in a time machine.
The storm had gone at the setting of the sun. Oh, watch the stars, see how they run. Although you see me go, see how they run. I have my trials here below. The stars run down at the setting of the sun. Oh, watch the stars, see how they run.
To WBAI in New York City, but you probably knew that. I mean, why else would you have your radio tuned to 99.5? Must be because you wanted to listen to WBAI in New York City. Now, you may never have heard WBAI before. You may not even be listening now. You may be getting ready to switch to another station, but hold on. Just a minute, because Robbie Barish is here. Come in, sit down, Robbie, and talk. Give us a little, a bit of a sit down. You're behind the chair. There's the chair. Robbie Barish has been away for a while. And now he returns. You remember what earphones are? Robbie, put them on. Robbie Barish used to
work. Yes, you remember how to turn on a microphone?
Yeah. Okay. You're right. I'm being brave.
You see, two can play at that game.
Yes, we could be playing at that game all night, but we'd only be playing because I love Robbie.
Well, we couldn't dig our car out, could we?
No, neither of us could. No one.
I know.
No terrible. One could dig their cars out.
And
could they?
Even if we successfully dug our car out, we wouldn't move it.
Dig it.
Because there would be no place to put it when we returned. Someone would take advantage of all of our effort in digging our car out by taking the space that we so laboriously created. So that was a good part of why you didn't see me for a while.
Well, now it's as clear as though I could actually understand it.
And then it was concert season.
Yes. So you were rehearsing?
Rehearsing and performing, and that's now given way to sort of an indefinite, because unfortunately, the conductor of my favorite orchestra that I play in has gone back into the hospital. He was incapacitated by surgery for a while, and apparently I heard in a phone call yesterday that he may have an additional problem. So I don't know what my status will be in terms of playing, which means that it frees up Thursdays and Wednesdays and Sundays and other days that I would be performing. And who knows, maybe it's time to give it up, you know. I've been scraping reeds for the last 50 years. And maybe I've just sort of scraped my last, as they say, you know. I don't like the idea, but there are two oboe players in every orchestra. If you count the English horn player, there are three. You know?
Wait a second. Where do the best reeds come from? Egypt.
Not really.
No?
No. Everybody has their favorite source of cane, which is, you know, grows in the south of France for one major supplier, but of course now it's worldwide. You can get it from China, you can get it from Vietnam, you can get it from Arizona, you can get it from...
That's ill-gotten cane.
That's true. But I don't know what's going to happen, you know? It's uncertain. Obviously, I should feel more empathy and be more unhappy about the fate of my friend Peter, who is the conductor, who has a potentially life-threatening situation. So I do. You know, as far as my own status is concerned, there's always the possibility of something else. Or else, like I said, I can come here every Thursday and visit the fabulous Bob Fast Bill Prop Consortium. Except...
Gee, you're certainly
during the fundraising drive.
You make it sound boring as hell, Robbie.
No.
The way you're describing it.
No. Like, come on, it's exciting. Yeah. It's exciting to be on the radio. I was just looking at photos back in...
Do you think maybe some people will call and ask to be on the radio?
I don't know. I was looking at...
212-209-2900.
I was looking at photos back in Sydney Smith's little lair of... actually, they're on my Facebook page where I have some photos, and one of them is me in front of the microphone in 1971, I think, looking incredibly young.
I wasn't alive,
you know? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, they're photos of you in 1970 looking like Pooh Bear, you know, or something similar.
We did a production of that famous children's story with Jim Freund and Paul Gorman, and who were some of the other people in that? Oh, I don't know, but it was good. It was good.
And there are other photos of you there.
Pictures around, and you can imagine what it was like.
So if anybody wants to see pictures of Bob, you can go to my Facebook page and look on photos, because they're accessible.
Right.
And there's a strip that looks like one of those, what do you call it, when you get a strip out of a photography place? Proof?
Contact sheet.
Contact sheet,
but
yes,
you know,
that's right.
We've had such a heavy dose of yesteryear that I would rather...
Well, in that case, let me turn off my microphone and let me go slink off into the night.
Yeah,
because what's left
what I,
for
I
us?
Like to have for a program is something, well, I got to admit it, borrowed. Something blue, something old, something new, because it's a kind of a... marriage that you're proposing to the audience. You dig?
I can dig it. Oh, no, that expression doesn't work now either. Oh, well.
You're on the radio.
Hi, Bob.
Hi there.
Hey, it's Fred.
Hi, Robbie. Good to hear you.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
I'm crazy as you, still crazy after all these years.
Oh, well, it must be the radon.
Oh, it's at least the radon. Bob, if you have if you want to take a few minutes to talk about that, maybe get some people to call in on the New York Times article from last Sunday.
Talk about it.
But I wanted to say one. I got to tell you one thing. You said that you were years ago. You were a dumb puppy, but I don't believe that. I think you must have been a beautiful puppy.
Spoken like a dog.
Spoken like a real dog.
Nice of you to say that, but I was a dumb, sloppy,
I know your bark is
puppy. When I think of those days and many days afterwards, I feel embarrassment.
No.
What?
I feel
embarrassed.
I just saw the Phil Oakes movie.
I have to see that.
And it's wonderful. It's really wonderful. And Ed Sanders is in it, and he says one of the best things about what happened to Phil Oakes. He says a lot of very sensitive people regret some of the things that they've done. Insensitive, unintelligent people don't really pay that much attention to it, but sometimes really sensitive people feel the harpoon of regret.
I'm guilty all the time.
It's stuck in them and it can't be pulled out. So
you just try to balance the scales and keep to balance. I have to see that. But here's one thing. Canada's making progress. I just heard yesterday that there's a law that you can't knowingly announce something on the air that is untrue. Can you believe that?
Oh, my God. They must have radio silence.
That's what I was saying.
There'll be empty channels, and there'll be no American television programs broadcast, right?
No, not across the border. They'll have to put up a lead wall. But you had mentioned the radon, Robbie. I would love to take a few minutes on this after that Times article, because
Did you see the article in the Times? It was a very serious discussion of what's wrong with fracking, very lamely defended by the industry.
Oh, they totally called them out. They just never released things that they knew about. They forbid the release of the real numbers. But just to follow, just to get this in before I forget, Jeff Brady interviewed a spokesman from up here, and she's going to be on with Law and Disorder with Michael Ratner on Monday morning. So folks should set their alarm and listen. And because I haven't heard it. I heard that she put out a lot of information. So, and he's also doing...
Do you think there's somebody who still doesn't know what fracking is that we should explain to them? You know, I started to explain it to someone this afternoon, and they said they didn't know what it was, and then as soon as I began to explain it, they said, oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, I know.
And they talked about the movie Gasland. Is that
speaking,
right?
Speaking of not knowing, this is WBAI in New York.
Oh, Robbie, you're right on point.
Go on.
So basically, yeah, let's see if I can do that in 1 minute, because I have something queued up, and there's, you're absolutely right. You start talking about something, assuming everyone knows what's going on. What's happened in the last 3 years, this is 3 years, Bob, this month is 3 years we've been talking about this, exactly. Landsmen came to people wanting them to sign leases to lease their land to gas drilling companies to drill for natural gas. They told everyone, people said, is it safe? They said, it's just as safe as drilling a well for water. That's how it all started. And since then, all these leases, there have been thousands of them. New York State hasn't allowed any leases yet. Pennsylvania has. The watershed area for New York is on both sides of the river, 15 million for 15 million people. So that's what's in danger. What happens is, first of all, they lie. What happens is they arrive with a lot of trucks, level off 5 acres of land, and start drilling. While they're drilling, the wells flare off with methane and a lot of VOCs. A lot of them have vent hydrogen sulfide vapors, which can be fatal if you breathe enough of it and you're close. Right away you got a fatal deal going on, the possible fatality going on. Then an average of 5 million gallons, sometimes it's 3, sometimes it's 8 million gallons of fresh, drinkable, crystal clear, dollar a gallon water, fresh, clean from the streams and the rivers that you can drink, is mixed with chemicals at certain times and injected under high pressure into a pipe that goes, first of all, down 8,000 feet, and there's usually a 1-to-1 ratio. There's a gentle curve, and it can go sideways, horizontally, up to 8,000 feet. It's usually 1-to-1. It can be 2-to-1 in some cases. It could go 10,000 feet sideways. That's nearly 2 miles, horizontally. So when someone leases an acre of land...
Depending on whether you're lying down or standing up.
There you go. So that's basically what it is. I just happened to cue something up by, if you go to the Times article, credit is given to Dr. Anthony Ingraffia, who pioneered this. He's been working on this for 34 years or so.
Did they borrow some of this technique from slant drilling for oil?
I just want to, like, clue some people in who might not know.
Is that a racist comment?
Still might not know what we're talking
only
about.
Come on.
After all that,
There is a process for obtaining what they call natural gas.
Thank you, Bob.
That is, in some people's minds, going to solve the energy crisis, maybe postpone the death of the motor car. There's a lot of natural gas down there, but it's trapped in shale.
Solid rock.
Miles below the earth. And the way it can be released is by pumping down this very corrosive soup of 200 different chemicals. And the soup is made of clear water and those chemicals, water that's taken from the river or from the stream or from... a truck or from melted snow or whatever.
From many trucks that arrive bringing different chemicals because they're not mixed at that point. They're brought there to be mixed at certain times.
And
that's one of the problems, too, the transportation of all those chemicals from around the country.
And this water and chemical soup does its job. It's turned into steam and forced down thousands of feet, and it cracks the rock, and the gas is released, and the gas is pumped to the surface. Now, also pumped to the surface is about 80% of that water. And it's really toxic stuff now, increasingly radioactive, because there's a radioactive belt down, a radon.
The Marcellus shale is highly,
right.
highly radioactive. Radon.
And this soup, this poisonous soup, is in some cases stored in deep pits lined with plastic, which leak.
Saran wrap.
And in other cases, just put back into the river. And what doesn't go into the river or into the ground goes into the aquifers that feed the reservoir of New York City. Now, in Pennsylvania, where this has been going on for a while, there are areas where if you open your tap, the water in your tub or in your shower, and you take a match to it, it'll flare and flames will be shooting out of the faucet.
That was an outdoor bathroom.
That was used for the trailer on the Academy Award winning film for Best Documentary. It didn't win. That we're talking about...
Nominated for that,
yeah, and they showed that as the... one of the money shots, which it certainly was. It was quite frightening when I saw it on video. I don't know if he expected that result right there to that extent, but it was a big flare-up. And that was from a tap that he lit. This could happen to anywhere downstate where we are as well.
Yeah, and
Fred has been fighting to get people to pay attention to this for, almost as long as I've known you. And that's been about 4 or 5 years now. So I wanted to, now that we're, at least we've tried to bring people up to...
You run it down very well, Bob. You should talk to Judith Molina. Maybe we can do a play.
Right. Okay, maybe she's listening. Maybe somebody else is listening.
Maybe Xavier. He could write it.
You're on the radio. Hello.
Speaking of fracking.
You're calling from another major lake.
Yeah, I'm calling from Ground Zero in Wisconsin here with Madison.
Uh-huh.
But they're trying to get leases to drill out here in Wisconsin, too. I mean, they're in 30 fracking, 2 or 36 states. They're drilling thousands and thousands and thousands of holes in the earth. That it's 8,000 feet deep. That's 2 miles deep. And then they go 2 miles long, and then they squirt all this poison. And so that's 4 miles of saturated poison at high pressure. And causes the rock to explode. And then it releases radioactivity and radon and 600 chemicals, up to 600 chemicals, can be mixed up with this drinking water. This is treason. This is treason against the holy earth. This is treason against mankind. This is war on everyone just for money. But they're going to kill everybody and stack up their money, and they're just going to watch us all, rot? They're out of their minds, these people. They're just mad. They're just mad.
You're on the air, too.
Well, they've been... The bullets. We use so many bullets. It's another subject. But there's more bullets, shot this year than there was, in all the... World War II. I mean, we're just shooting guns and causing waste. and nuclear. Robbie, you know about DPU. What the heck is happening with DPU? It's like covering all the war zones with depleted uranium. It's really not depleted. It's 98% uranium. It's nasty stuff. It's radioactive.
There are a lot of birth defects in Fallujah just because of that. There were heavy concentrations of that. They're deformed and mutated babies. But speaking of deformed and mutated babies, there are mutagens in these chemicals where there have been mutated animals born from drinking these fluids out west. So...
Yeah, I know.
A lot of them stem from the benzene ring,
I think.
So what if your wife has triplets three times and has three-headed babies? That's right away 9 mouths to feed. This is not a joke.
Right. Could be a baseball team, right?
Could be a baseball team.
But where is the great men? Where did they go? Where are all the great women that are not talking about saving? You're not saving face. They're saving your party.
Well, George Lake. I'll call you George Lake. I don't. Want
okay.
What's being done? Let's talk about a little bit of progress. I don't want to spend too much time, but let's put...
You have to spend the time, Fred. This is more important than anything. Water is life. Without water, what's GEAD?
Well, what I mean is I don't want to spend time talking. I'd rather have people interested or commenting.
Well, you got to educate them, man.
Well, all right. Well,
go for it.
Here's one thing that is said. It is said that when they recover a lot of this fluid, they're going to use a closed-loop system to reuse the old fracking fluid, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, this is something that is impossible because I knew I was going to make this call, and this person I mentioned, this Dr. Anthony Ingraffia, who did the graphic for the New York Times article, take a look at it, and what he says... is that's an impossibility because these chemicals are added at certain... This is the guy that pioneered this, started 34 years ago working on this and developed it, and now he realizes that the drilling technology has far outpaced the oversight and cleanup. But here's the key thing is if you were to defend this point.
To the fracturing fluid, and these are added at a very specific time during the hydraulic fracturing process, in a very specific concentration. This is part of the engineering of a well. This is not like having a lake full of clear water and you pour all the chemicals in, stir once, and pump it down the well. That's not the way it works. The computer simulation tells the engineers when to add what, just the right concentration so that the whole process works, hopefully, flawlessly.
Okay, that's the expert. Here's the facts on the ground. The drillers are claiming that they're going to just reuse this fluid when they drill the next well. You see anything wrong with this picture? They can't reuse that fluid.
Sure, it concentrates the poison.
And it also concentrates.
By the time it's used the second time, it has, radioactivity increases... I don't know, Robert, you're the expert on that.
Well, it's not so much the radioactivity component. What Fred is saying is that you need to have certain components added at different stages of the process, and you just can't take the combined fluid that's already been mixed and done its job and expect it will have the performance of the materials added in an appropriate sequence. It doesn't work like that.
Exactly. The other thing to be debunked is they said they're going to get rid of these chemicals in injection wells that have to be drilled near the well, near the original well. Now, if you're drilling the original well and you're pumping down 5 million gallons and it doesn't stay down, it comes back.
Does Gary Knoll know about this?
Why don't we call him up and wake him up and say, "Get
don't wake him up. Don't wake him up. He only sleeps for 15 minutes a night."
Yeah, that's true.
So what this amounts to is like an old cartoon.
But
like,
he sleeps very deeply. And very restfully. And he's incredibly healthy. Hey,
But the Wushu, why don't they do it in the road?
Get the Wu-Tang to do it.
Or get the Wu-Tang.
But, man, I mean, and as if we don't have enough problems that we have to... There's a loophole in the law. There's actually written in the fracking contract to do this stuff. It's called the Halliburton loophole that doesn't require them to meet any environmental quality, what do they call it, environmental standards. They are exempted from being responsible corporations, so they can just rape and pillage without fear of recourse from us, we the people, because it's we, our land, that they are raping and destroying and literally obliterating life and obliterating water, and they don't have to pay. But is there any way that a gallon of water is more expensive than a gallon of gas? I mean, I don't understand. It's not.
You can use the water more than once.
It's not worth.
The gallon of gas is done when you're done with it. It comes down again somewhere else 5 years later.
It's a lose-lose situation. They make the profit, take it out. They're selling the gas overseas.
Well, that's the whole thing.
People
should really go.
They're destroying our country. They're destroying our earth. I'm not talking about the environment. I'm talking about the wrecking earth, the whole planet. It's not separate. Environment is earth. It's not an environment. It's a planet.
You should go to Netflix. You should go to Netflix and get the rent the film Flow. FLOW. It's absolute. It's the condition of water across the globe. It's the cinematography. Great, but it's.
Thank you. And actually, water is like. Water is the new. It never was any different. Water is life, and we are selling water. We are exporting water from Texas and from the Great Lakes. And
China just drained
a lake in Nevada. The giant lake in Nevada is half the size it was 10 years ago. And it's not because that it was a drought. They're selling the water, and then China is buying it. And they're putting it in gigantic bags, gigantic plastic bags the size of oil tankers. And they're dragging up to 20 bags across the ocean to China, and they're dumping it in their own aquifers. They're draining our aquifers and filling up theirs. This is insanity.
I read a story about someone. I'm not sure where I read it. Listen to me, George. About someone who said, "Wait a minute, you have all of that ice at the poles in the form of glaciers. Why can't we move the ice to Bahrain or Saudi Arabia, where they'll appreciate it in the form of chilled drinks?
Or any of our other states."
And so...
Ice for oil.
They went up there and they chopped a big chunk of it off, and they tied a rope around it, and they started motivating it over the sea, after a while, all they were hauling was the rope. when the glacier got near the equator, that was it. So they had to move to Plan B.
Oh man, we must be up to Plan Z plus right now, because fascism and capitalism and crapitalism have all been melded into one thing, and they're just pulverizing anything they can make a buck out of, and they're leaving the dust behind, and then we're supposed to breathe in the dust. I mean, this is war. It's really war. They don't want to call it war, but it's like people side. Human size, like the extraction companies against everything else. And they have to be stopped. Stop it.
space is blowing in my face. God, what am I doing here? I wish I was a cat, then I'd know where it's at. Sure, has been a funny year. The dripping of the faucet puts a rhythm to my night. I walk around in time with it. My footprints would be ordered.
I touch my body scene.
I'm still a human being. God, what am I doing here?
The shoreline disappears. The view goes on for years. Time is like an endless sea. I row my little boat and try to stay afloat, dreaming of eternity.
A music all around me, but then but I am rarely high enough to hear the world that way.
Please give me a sign.
Is all this nonsense mine? God,
what am I doing here?
This is Linda from Brooklyn, and I wanted to say two things. One is when Robbie started talking about digging out his car, and then the last thing he said in his sort of monologue was, dig it. I just thought it was a really good final comment.
Well, Linda, you get it. Not everybody gets it, but you get it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for noticing.
And the other thing I wanted to talk about is...
wait a minute.
Well, I just said thank you for noticing.
Oh.
We try. You know?
What's going on with you, Linda?
Well, I'm not a BAI anymore. I had an incident that made me realize I had to sort of pull away and take a break, maybe forever. But I'm an avid listener, obviously. And I don't know, I've been resting since, because I was working really hard in premiums and sending out all that stuff that everybody wants to get. And for me, now that's over. So that's what's going on. I'm readjusting to life without BAI. But I did want to mention about the fracking that you're talking about. And to me, that's a symbol of capitalism itself, how it's coming, the noxious elements of it are coming to the fore and into people's consciousness, and I'm really worried about the summer. I think we're going to have a lot of love action this summer. And I think Mayor Bloomberg's cuts are coming due in the real, you know, the full impact will be, I believe it's the end of June. So I just wanted to share that.
Hi, Linda. I'm still on also.
Yeah.
I think the environment is the one thing that he's good on. I think that's the only thing that I found where he's taken the right position on.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. What I meant is that I think throughout
the
country, you know, environment to me, that's just like the essence of everything collapsing in a certain way, everything going against our human nature to which we have to rebel.
It's against the environment when you have to drive. I mean, in a lot of ways, when you have to drive around the block six times looking for a place to park because there's this, confusing billboard of signs that say no parking here from 7 to N, loading zone, don't even think of parking here, no parking except on Sunday from 7 to 3, from midnight. I mean, there are all of these signs, and you're driving around in a snowstorm looking for a place to park. That's not good for the environment. Not only does your exhaust mess up the place where people live, but it's ugly. You know, it's really ugly.
Well, there has been a concerted effort
to get rid
cars
of cars.
Out of the city,
good
make you unhappy
good
with
idea,
your car.
Good idea, but there are some of us who cannot get around otherwise, you know?
Right.
You know,
cities have to be redesigned.
Yeah, and cars have to be redesigned, too, so that...
But transportation in general has to be redesigned.
Yeah, and actually, there are a few test buses that are operated by, you know, some form of electric power.
Right.
Hybrid design. But the thing about that kind of transportation is that someplace in the world, coal is burned to make electricity.
Yeah.
And unless they have really efficient scrubbers at the plant where it's burned, it's just a different distribution of the poison. You know?
Well, maybe they should use robots.
I thought they were in charge already.
Well, they are.
They are using robots.
The aliens are in charge. The aliens came in business suits.
They stayed.
What these farmers, Linda, what these farmers can do that are leasing their land, I mean, it's always good to have a cure. We know what a lot of the problems are, so every once in a while throw in a cure. The drillers that need to drill so bad that don't want to be put out of a job, all they have to do is go out in some of the pastures that aren't being used, drill short little holes, 70 or 80 feet deep, that don't hurt anything, and put in geothermal. Then you put a heat, connect it to a heat pump, and that spins a generator.
Hello?
And makes
somebody
Hello?
Else. Yes,
Hello?
Somebody else has joined us. Hi, you're on the air too.
Hello, Bob.
I'm going to listen. I'm going to hang up. Thank you.
Hello.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye, Linda.
Bob.
Yes, I think you're on the air. It's a little, connection is a little messy.
I know, my cell phone. It's Aaron.
Aaron, hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Aaron.
Hello? Yes.
Aaron, can I say who you are? Talk
Go
about
ahead. Go
who
ahead.
You are? You're Aaron. No. This caller is the famous Aaron Kay, who invented the practice of... Well, was it you who invented it, or was it Tom Fassad?
Tom Fassad was the first pie assassin, and
throwing a pie in the face of a deserving politician.
And believe me, currently, there's a lot of people who are on the list who could get pied if I was in better shape, or if they want to carry on their responsibility. Namely one, Rot Walker,
Who?
I call him Scott Walker, the dictator of Wisconsin who wants to bust the unions. I call him Ross Walker. R-O-T.
He should be first on your list, Aaron.
I'm trying to get a circuit since I'm here in New York and I'm in rehab to take care of business.
You're getting much better. I heard you call a few times. You sound much better, so.
And the thing
make
is.
Make up a list. There's plenty of people that have to be polite. There's plenty of them.
I don't want to say all the names on the air because I don't want anybody to be on guard. I'm just supposed to get a surprise, you know, surprise attack. But there is.
Do you want to talk about your associate who just passed, Ben Mizell?
He passed. No, nearby. Right?
Did I misunderstand that? Is he still around? Maybe he's very sick. I heard bad news about him.
He's got lung cancer. what did you hear? What is this? He passed away?
No, I heard that he was very sick and I got confused. I'm glad to hear
no,
he's still
no, he has lung, he, lung, he has lung cancer.
Lung cancer.
I talked to him a few days ago.
Yeah. See, he would be, if he were active now, he'd be positively lethal, huh?
Yes, but the thing is...
Ben Mizell is I guess he's a follower of the Tom Forsyth Pie Brigade.
Yeah.
But his thing is a little different. He gets up close to a politician and spits in their face.
I did that fire.
He has lung cancer, I guess it could be a dangerous weapon, huh?
Yes, he had cancer, so cancer.
Weapon
saliva.
Of extreme destruction. Have you spoken to him recently?
Yeah, what's happening is he's getting some type of radiation treatment. And basically speaking, he may get chemo later. What they want to do is get him into remission. Then he can shoot for chemo, you know? I mean, he can't smoke right now, unfortunately. But there's other ways of ingesting cannabis other than smoking anyway, you know? Think of I Love You, Alice B. Toklas, the movie.
Right.
And I feel for Ben, you know, because we have been on the ramparts on and off over the years since the days in Miami, raising hell. And it was Ben Mizell who jumped Strom Thurmond on August 12th during the last day of the Republican convention. Due to the fact that it was Thurmond.
Aaron, I'm having trouble understanding you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're eating some pie?
No, I'm not eating anything. I'm not eating anything. Ben jumped Strom Thurmond on the last day of the Republican convention in 72. Thurmond was a creep who tried to throw John Lennon out of the country. As you may remember.
Yes,
because of John's political activities. So Strom had to get a little bit of yippy medicine to try to set him straight. Then, of course, Ben, you know, landed the saliva on Scoot Jackson, who was a senator from Bowling.
A lot of people think that Ben goes too far, you know.
I don't think so.
You don't think that?
I don't think that's
beyond the bounds of polite discourse?
I don't know. Remember, they used to call Ben Vinegar Ben, who never mellowed. Maybe I have a slightly more politeness than Ben ever did. But we all have our degrees of diplomacy when we need to be diplomatic.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, but then we had Dean Tuckerman, who was a yippie paralegal with cerebral palsy. And the cops used to tell me, we'll give you anything you want, don't send Dean. You know? Because he'd be so obnoxious, we'd give him the permits that he wanted just to get rid of him. And I was the so-called diplomat. Then one day I took Rachel to a meeting with the police, you know, for a permit. And Rachel had a little container of Tropicana.
Rachel's your daughter.
Yes. She was 3 at the time, and she spilled a Tropicana on the police station's floor.
That must have been very endearing.
Well, the world slurping a child, she got away with it.
I'm sure that the police officers tell each other those stories, and
I'm sure
their eyes twinkle around Christmas time when they tell us.
Because their eyes, or they grin and bear it when they have to deal with people like us.
After she spilled the orange juice, they couldn't concentrate.
Yes, and the thing is dealing with people like that, and dealing with union busters, you know, who need to experience, you know, the hard.
What did you think of the police who were lining the streets today in Trenton in protest and silent, non-violent protest?
Interesting, because someone told me, I was talking with somebody in Madison, a friend of Ben's, last week in Madison, and she's riding a bus over to the Capitol, and she sees the cops are carrying signs saying, "Cops for labor."
Well, gee, you know, Aaron, I hate to say this, but you're practically in. I can't understand you.
Okay,
I can't understand you.
Aaron. I know it's my phone.
A lot of people have said that to you all through your life, I'm sure, but I mean just the, like, I can't make out the words. Maybe
okay, I'll slow down.
Maybe it's my hearing. Maybe
it's probably my hearing.
I think it's
no, it isn't, Bob. It's the phone.
It's my phone.
You're too close to the phone. Maybe move back a little bit.
Is this better?
Somewhat, yeah.
Okay, I'll repeat myself. I was speaking to somebody.
Only slightly better.
Yes, I was talking to somebody who was riding a bus to the Capitol. Yeah, it was last week. And she told me that she saw a group of cops carrying signs saying, "Cops for labor." Remember, the Madison Police Department will not throw the protesters out of the Capitol. Which shows there was a strange alliance. Only in Madison, things like that could take place. Think about it. I've been in Madison before, I know. Anyway, I'm going to let other people call in. For the next few minutes, I want to give them a chance to get their 3 cents in. So all your listeners, for next week, or you can find me in Facebook, facebook.com/pieman420. Toodles.
I like that 420.
Against Frank Perdue. He's clacking a lot, but he's not saying anything. Friends, I'm mighty sorry to tell you, but men's getting mighty sorry in my state, in Tennessee. Now, I'm singing you a song of a young man who's married 3 weeks and got a divorce and wanted a poor old Methodist preacher to give him his $5 back. But you must remember, King David and King Solomon lived merry, merry lives, for they had many, many wives. But when old age overtook them, they became very calm. King Solomon wrote the proverb, and David wrote the song.
To get married, my little girl and I. The day I bought till I signed, I let my freedom fly. We woke up to the preacher, said yes to all he said. And if I had to do again, I'd shoot myself in the head. Give me back my $5 I paid for a wife. I was a fool to pay someone to sentence me for life. She was sweet as a villain on the vine. I thought it was my lucky day when I asked her to be mine. She looked so doggone pretty, she liked to took my breath. But when I saw my mother-in-law, I darn near choked to death. Give me back my $5 I paid for a wife. I was a fool to pay someone to sentence me for life. Home up east, I told her to see the sights. She'd come in about daylight, oh, where do you spend your nights? She bought out half the city, silk dresses and gold braid. I could have bought the Brooklyn Bridge with half the debts I paid.
Was a ghostly galleon tossed upon cloudy seas, and the road was a ribbon of moonlight over the purple moor, and the highwayman came riding, 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 yes, the highwayman came riding up to the old inn door. Over the cobbles he clattered and clashed in the darkened yard. And he tapped with his whip on the window, but all was locked and barred. So he whistled a tune to the window. Who should be waiting there but the landlord's black-eyed daughter? Yes, the landlord's daughter, plaiting a dark red love knot into her long black hair. One kiss, my bonny sweetheart, for I'm after a prize tonight. But I shall be back with the yellow gold before the morning light. Yet if they press me sharply, carry me through the day, oh, then look for me by moonlight. Watch for me by moonlight, and I'll come to thee by moonlight, though hell should bar the way. He did not come at the dawning, no, he did not come at the noon. And out of the tawny sunset, before the rise of the moon, when the road was a gypsy's ribbon, looping the purple moor, oh, a red coat troop came marching, marching, marching. King George's men came marching up to the old inn door. And they bound the landlord's daughter with many a sniggering jest. And they bound the musket beside her with a barrel beneath her breast. Now keep good watch, and they kissed her. She heard the dead man say, oh, look for me by moonlight. Watch for me by moonlight, and I'll come to thee by moonlight, though hell should bar the way. Look for me by moonlight, the beats ringing clear. Watch for me by moonlight, were they deaf that they did not hear? For he rode on the gypsy highway. She breathed on.
girl. Make me in bed, I'm not the one gonna live. Make me in bed, I'm the chosen few. Who are just the many when the game is through. Make me in bed, I'm the child of pride. When the truth is light, when the innocent sky. From the fortress where the lilies that bloom and the lands are lost. And the breaking down the distance.
Once again, digital catastrophe. Those nasty electrons won't stand up and line up and shout out their numbers. I apologize. I'm sorry that disc. Was a little imperfect. You have anything to say, we're here for another 10 minutes or so. And then, and here he is now in good time. Good. Hey, it's Ibrahim Gonzalez. Good morning, Ibrahim.
Que pasa, brother?
Oh, nada. The
world's
on fire.
How
do you say, I heard someone say that... The cry is, I want to live. How do you say that in Spanish?
Quiero vivir. That's right. Either that or, you know, the world's on fire, so get up and take a leak.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I can tell you're in the right mood for tonight. I have so many more things I wanted to talk to you about this morning, Kamal. A few things that I wanted to mention that are in the works. Gonna do a program, with Vince Martin that's coming up. And going to do a program with Al Cooper. That's also coming up. And I don't know. Maybe I'll stay away for a while. And Bill and Robbie will do some stuff. And maybe not. Can't be sure. But Robbie has a lot to contribute. And... if you have any questions, for instance, about how people have been reported as having incredible, horrifying injuries as a result of radioactive isotope treatment and X-ray radiation treatment, Robbie is the guy to... talk to you about that, because Robbie installs those facilities. That's, I mean, you're the guy who can dispel all our fears, or maybe enhance them, Robbie. I don't mean to put you on the spot like that, but I'm sure you have some kind of an answer. I've been seeing these reports.
Well, I'm not exactly an installer.
But you're a designer of those facilities.
Yes, that's true. But before I became exclusively a designer of those facilities, I was clinically involved for 30 years with those facilities. So I sort of seen it all, and I know how it works, and I know how it fails to work sometimes. So, yeah, I know all about it.
Is there something you can take when you're going to have to subject yourself to that kind of treatment that will protect you? Or some people say eat a lot of seaweed because it loads up your thyroid with iodine that isn't going to...
Well, look, we're talking about different things here. I mean, there is treatment with external radiation, and there's treatment with internal radioisotopes. And they're considerably different. And there's also treatment with internal treatments with sealed radioactive sources. So you actually have three fundamental modalities in which radiation is used in a treatment environment. And of course there are dozens of applications in a diagnostic environment. One of the major problems at the moment being the fact that with something like 35 million annual radioactive procedures, we as a country are having to import most of the radioactive material because since a lot of it is reactor produced, the fact that there are no reactors in the United States that are capable, well not no, but very few that are capable of producing this stuff, it is virtually all imported from Canada or from France or from Germany or from other places. And it is a matter of some concern because there are a lot of people who will benefit and do benefit from things like nuclear stress testing and, you know, examinations to see whether their organs are properly functioning that absolutely depend on this stuff. But we'll talk about that next time or some other time. We'll also talk about geothermal power, which has been an obsession of mine for a very long time.
You get a line, I'll get a pole, honey. You get a line, I'll get a pole, babe. You get a line, I'll get a pole. We'll go down to crawl that hole, honey. Babe of mine. Woo! Hurry up, babe, slept too late, honey. Hurry up, babe, slept too late, babe. Hurry up, honey, slept too late. Draw that man on fragile gate, honey. Baby mine. Sell your crawdad's reaper dime, honey. Sell your crawdad's reaper dime, babe. Sell your crawdad's reaper dime. Your crawdad ain't good as mine, honey. Babe of mine. What are you gonna do when the lake goes dry, honey? What are you gonna do when the lake goes dry, babe? What are you gonna do when the lake goes dry? Stand on the bank, what's for that time, honey?
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.